Well, ahead of a three-day visit to the US, French President Emmanuel Macron has urged his US counterpart Donald Trump to stick with the Iran nuclear deal. Macron says there's no better option. Mr. Trump has threatened to abandon the deal, which limits Iran's nuclear program in return for sanctions relief. Henry Tai has more.
Tensions in the Middle East continue to plague the talks at the G7, with the President of France, Emmanuel Macron, advising President Donald Trump to stick with the current nuclear deal between Iran and six world powers. With a possible US withdrawal, the Iranians feel incensed, and Richard Broanowski, immediate past president of the Australia Institute of International Affairs and former diplomat who returned from Iran this morning, explains the feeling on the ground.
The Iranians feel very much put upon. They feel very badly treated. There's a general public feeling that of indignation that there's been such a lot of work put into the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action to stifle their nuclear ambitions, but it hasn't been appreciated. They feel that Trump has come to the party too late. There are the Germans and the French and not to say China and Russia that have also been involved in this. This agreement have done the right thing by supporting what the Iranians have done, which is to honour the agreement and cut back very, very substantial their still existing nuclear program.
Jeremy Jones, Director of International Affairs at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, strongly believes that Iranians have not complied with the accord set in 2015.
The simple fact is this deal was not something that was only for 1 or 2 years. It was for 10 years in most of the situation. We're only 2 years into it. So they haven't complied with it until the 10 years is up. Secondly, there is no question they did receive billions of dollars in funds which had been frozen, which could have flown back to make the economy stronger or allowed Iran to develop more infrastructure, whatever it wanted to do. Instead, it was spent on foreign adventurism.
Mr. Broanowski notes that in Iran, there was a feeling of a need to move forward rather than funnel money into various foreign escapades.
What the public, I think I picked up when I was there, what the public generally think, though, is that they're a bit sick and tired of the Revolutionary Guard forces being involved in overseas activities, particularly in their support for the Assad regime in Syria. And I think probably they say, look, bring them home. We don't want that to happen. We'd like to get on with building schools and education and not so much worry about overseas ventures like that.
Mr. Broanowski also spoke about some of the political opportunism that took place following the comments made by former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
This has been a constant theme. I had some Jewish friends with me on this trip, and we were arguing quite a lot about Israel's position. The fact is, Ahmadinejad, when he was president of the Republic in Iran, was saying these stupidly foolhardy things about driving the Jews into the sea. And, of course, the right wing in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem seize upon that to say, look, they're out to get us. Therefore, we have to be tough and we have to protect our borders and we can't allow the Iranians to establish themselves inside Syria. And that's why the Israelis have attacked what they regard as certain bases of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard inside Syria.
Mr. Jones, however, does not believe it is a matter of politics.
The issue of the threat of Iran is not right, left, centre, religious, unreligious, coastal, inland Israelis. It's right across the people of Israel. They're not stupid. They see what the Iranians say, and the history of the world has often taught us if a dictator says something, listen, because they often talk about what they intend to do. So Israelis across the border, very concerned with what Iran wants to do. Where it becomes a matter of of possible partisan or particularist politics is what you then do about it. And there were some who would say we can rely on America and the Europeans to look after the interests of the globe in this area. There are others who say you can't trust anybody really except yourself. Some would say the most important alliance is going to be with other countries threatened by Iran, whereas there'll be others who say these are short-term, convenient interests that could change overnight and we can't depend on them either. So the debate really isn't about, is Iran a problem? The debate is about what are the best ways of mitigating that problem or hopefully in the long term having a situation where that problem isn't around at all.
And Mr. Brunowski also believes that there is more than one tipping point for conflict to occur.
One is the JCPOA. If the Americans are obdurate and continue to want to pull out, and if they can persuade other countries to do so, the Iranians have said, damn it, we're going to go ahead and go back to our nuclear program, and I think they would reveal an ambition to develop nuclear weapons, just as the Shah wanted to do. The Iranians have a missile system that's really quite sophisticated. They've got intermediate-range missiles. I don't think they've gone as far as the North Koreans, but they've gone in that direction. And they do have, continue to have, in the head of their scientists, of course, the knowledge of how to develop weapons. And if this deal fell apart, then I think they'd go hell for leather to develop their own weapons. If that happened, as I said before, the Saudis would immediately want their own nuclear weapons. I don't know what the United States' position about that would be. And I think Egypt wouldn't be far behind, and perhaps Turkey as well. You'd have huge proliferation. On the other hand, that's not the only issue. The in Syria could be tipped over into a wider conflagration, especially if, as was feared, if the Americans start attacking Russian assets within side Syria, the escalation of that would be that the Russians would start attacking the platforms that are attacking them.
Richard, former diplomat Richard Brunowski from the Australia Institute of International Affairs, ending that report by Henry Tye.